it's clear to anyone who's paying any attention at all that we have entered into a special time. It's clear because of what happened yesterday. Yesterday's Palm Sunday, and I don't know where all the people came from, but the churches were filled with people. Everybody knew it was Palm Sunday, meaning everybody knows it's Holy Week. Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. As I mentioned at the beginning, the entry into Jerusalem is not only a commemoration of what Jesus did on Palm Sunday, but also symbolic of what we do in Holy Week. We enter into the holy city. We enter into the place of decision. We enter into our conscience. In the city of Jerusalem, there's turmoil, there's division, there's confusion, there's the question, what about this Jesus? Is he the Messiah, or is he an imposter, a blasphemer? Is he someone we must worship, or is he someone we must kill? And that was clear yesterday, right? In the beginning of the liturgy yesterday, Jesus was hailed with the joyful acclamation, Hosanna to the Son of David, welcome. And then during the reading of the Passion, the crowds cried, let him be crucified, let him be crucified. Since this is a liturgical community, let me point out that these days of Holy Week, actually Holy Week and the Octave of Easter, have a special character. If you look in the table of the rank, you could say, or the precedence of liturgical days, the very first rank, the very highest level of any liturgical celebration are the days of the Easter Triduum or the Paschal Triduum. So that's Holy Thursday night, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, especially the Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday. So that's the highest in the whole year. In the second rank, Christmas, Epiphany, Ascension, Pentecost, Sundays of Advent, of Lent, of Easter, Ash Wednesday, weekdays of Holy Week from Monday to Thursday. That's where we are. So this is second rank. That's how important these days are, and the days within the Octave of Easter. So more important even than solemnities. That's why, as it sometimes happens, if the solemnity of the Annunciation falls during Holy Week, it gets moved. I think that theoretically could happen to St. Joseph as well. I don't think it happens very often, but that's a solemnity. So if a solemnity lands in Holy Week or the Octave of Easter, it has to be moved. So it's just to show, maybe it's a little technical, but it shows the importance of these days. This isn't just an ordinary day, ordinary Monday morning, go back to work. And it's not just an ordinary Lenten weekday, it's Holy Week. The Gospel starts out 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. I think this is before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I'm not quite sure of the sequence now off the top of my head, but I think he hasn't yet made this procession. But anyway, it's the same period of time, right? And the Palm Sunday is just a few days before the Passover. That's why there were so many people there, because they were coming to the city for Passover. But this Gospel today takes us to Bethany, to the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And Lazarus is alive. It's a stunning miracle. We pondered it a week ago, but it's still impossible to imagine the impact of Lazarus's being raised from the tomb after being in there 4 days, the impact on the people, on the culture, on the society. It says here in the Gospel that many people were being converted to faith in Jesus because of Lazarus. And that's why the chief priests, who wanted to stop this growing movement, they were going to kill Lazarus too. Destroy the evidence. It's classic criminal mindset. Destroy the evidence. Usually, and when it comes to destroying the evidence, you have to destroy the body, right? You have to dispose of the body in a way that it can't be implicated. Well, the body's alive again. So Lazarus is alive. So now they have to destroy it, have to kill him, get rid of him. But at the heart of this Gospel is the beautiful gesture of Lazarus's sister Mary, who anoints Jesus' feet with this very costly oil. There are lots of speculations about the meaning of this and about what Mary had in mind. But we can start with, since we started the week with Palm Sunday, we can start with a point from yesterday's readings. I know everyone focused on the entry into Jerusalem with the palms and then the Passion, but the second reading yesterday was a very condensed summary of this whole week. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself. And this gesture, or this movement of Jesus to empty himself, which we're going to see come to its culmination on Good Friday, is also an indication of the path for his followers. We are called to empty ourselves, not waste ourselves, but pour ourselves out as a gift. That's what love is, in fact. Love is a gift of ourselves to the other, to God, to neighbor. This pouring out of ourselves, which we see in Jesus, is also seen in everyone who is a faithful follower. It's supposed to be seen in us, but we sometimes don't see it in ourselves very well. We do see it in Mary here. She pours herself out. She empties out this liter of costly perfumed oil, genuine aromatic nard. And then she anoints his feet with the oil, and then she dries his feet with her hair. Now, his feet are down there, and her hair is up here. She has to bow all the way down to the ground. That's that physical manifestation of self-emptying, of pouring oneself out. Very beautiful gift of herself. There's a lot, like I said, there's lots of speculation about the, or pondering what this all means. Since Lazarus had died, they probably anointed his body. Some people are saying maybe this is the oil that they used to anoint their brother. It doesn't say that in the scriptures. But Jesus does connect the anointing to his own burial, as if this oil is appropriate for a burial. And we are in the strange period of time between the death and raising of Lazarus and the death and resurrection of Jesus, which are connected. And Mary here is in the middle, anointing the body of Jesus before he dies. She has a profound insight or an intuition that it's time to honor Jesus, honor him physically, honor him with an anointing. I don't know if she knows he's going to die and be buried. She probably is not thinking that, but maybe she is, because everyone knows the chief priests are out to kill him. In any case, whatever she knows, she makes a gift of herself. And part of love is to make a gift without knowing everything, right? Love is not with strings attached. It's not, I'm going to make a gift of myself as long as I know that it's going to bear good fruit for me or it's going to work out for us. No, love is a kind of abandonment of our future to the hands of God. That's what Mary does. In sharp contrast to Mary, of course, is Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. As of this point in the journey, Judas has not yet betrayed the Lord to the chief priests, but he is already enslaved by love of money. It says here he was a thief, he used to steal from the apostles' own collection. You know what St. James says about the love of money? The love of money is the root of all evil. Love of money is the root of all evil. It's not that money is such a bad thing, but when someone chooses to put himself, his own will, above everything else, which is what we do when we love money, we make ourselves God, then there's no stopping the evil that we will do in order to serve ourselves. So Judas is already in a very serious spiritual condition. He's enslaved by love of money. He puts on this false front of being concerned for the poor. Pretty clever, actually. I mean, everyone looks good when they're on the side of the poor, standing up for the poor. But John the Evangelist says it wasn't because of love for the poor. It was because he was a thief. He wanted the oil sold, put the money in the collection. Some of it goes to Judas, some of it goes to the poor. So here's the contrast. Mary, Judas. Giver, taker. Self-emptying, self-filling. That's exactly what's set before us very, very starkly. Jesus takes Mary's side. Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. It's an instruction for Judas. Judas is the one who objected. Here's the case. Is Mary doing a good thing or a bad thing? Is this extravagant love or is this just wasteful extravagance? Judas, Mary. Well, Jesus takes sides here. Leave her alone. Let this be accounted to her credit. Meaning, Judas, you're in the wrong here. You see how he's reaching out to Judas's conscience? You're on the wrong side here. She's right, you're wrong. Now, I don't know how Judas felt about that, but he was publicly corrected, which was an opportunity for him to repent. Correction, as painful as it is an opportunity. Well, we know that it didn't work. He didn't repent. He didn't free himself from love of money. He found a way to make more money by selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Just 1/10 of the cost of the oil. 300 pieces of silver for the oil. Jesus only 30 pieces. That shows Judas's spiritually crippled soul. But for us, we're asked, well, are you going to take the path of Judas or the path of Mary of Bethany? And of course we say, we're not going to be Judas. We're not going to betray the Lord. But the path of Mary is quite challenging. Most of us are somewhere in between. Yes, willing to give a little bit, also keep a little bit. We're not going to abandon our faith or betray the Lord, we hope. But we're not going to give everything we have either, because then what happens? Well, that's a little bit frightening. That middle option is not given to us during Holy Week. The middle option is the wrong choice. It's a indecision, which is a decision not to follow the Lord fully. No, the challenge here is to be like Mary, to be willing to pour ourselves out in service of God and His people, to hold no love back. It doesn't mean being imprudent or being foolish or wasteful. It means being wholehearted. That's what Lent, what Holy Week calls us to. The fruit of wholehearted self-gift is glory. But we don't see it right away. We'll see that next week. In the meantime, we are inspired by and we follow the example of Mary of Bethany.